from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 10th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Second District Congressman Jared Golden says he has unanswered questions about President Biden's ability to continue to lead the country for another 4 years. Kevin Miller reports.
Golden says he did not attend Tuesday's closed-door meeting with fellow House Democrats to discuss Biden's struggling re-election campaign because he believes only the president can decide whether to stay in the race. Golden made headlines last week when he predicted that Republican Donald Trump would win in November, in part because he says Biden and other Democrats are spending too much time trying to scare voters about a second Trump presidency and not enough time focused on the economy and issues that voters care about. Golden reiterated Wednesday that he won't vote for Trump, but he says Biden needs to prove that he can continue to serve.
I'm asking the same question that I know millions and millions of Americans are asking themselves, which is, what is the physical and mental state of health of the president of the United States? And I will not vote for someone if I don't think that they are physically and mentally equipped to lead this nation. And I don't know the answer to that question at this time.
Golden is a moderate three-term incumbent in a district that went for Trump in 2016 and 2020. His Republican opponent this November, former NASCAR driver Austin Terrio, has criticized him for not saying whether he backs Biden's re-election. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A 38-year-old man was shot and killed by a state trooper on Tuesday in Old Orchard Beach after authorities say he led them on a chase in York County and pointed and loaded an AR-style rifle. According to Maine State Police, Christopher Harriman of Limerick was armed with a rifle at the Kennebunk Rest area on the Maine Turnpike and was making threats to harm himself and others. Police responded and engaged in a, quote, slow-speed pursuit while Harriman pointed the rifle out of the car window at officers. They say Harriman stopped at the parking lot of a grocery store in Old Orchard Beach and, while outside his car, grabbed the rifle and chambered a round and was then shot and killed by a trooper. The Office of the Maine Attorney General is investigating the shooting, and the officer who shot Harriman has been placed on administrative leave. Meanwhile, voters in Lewiston finally approved the local school budget on Tuesday. Residents had voted down two previous versions of the spending plan in May and late June, but passed the latest measure by about a 200-vote margin. School officials have said that they were forced to increase the budget by roughly $9 million this year due to rising salaries, health costs, and special education expenses. The district was able to trim the spending plan in part by relying on cutting positions and using a fund balance. The staff of the Maine Public Utilities Commission is recommending that regulators reject a petition challenging new ferry rates for Casco Bay lines. The new rates, which went into place June 1st, increased prices for day trippers by more than 80% during the peak summer season. Meanwhile, the cost of a monthly or yearly pass dropped by more than 40%. Andrew Dukas, a part-time Peaks Island resident, filed the petition in May with about 60 signatures, arguing that the new rates are outrageous and unfair to daily visitors. But in a recommended decision filed on Tuesday, PUC staff say that Casco Bay Lines officials followed regulations when they designed the new rates and balanced the financial needs of the agency with the interests of its passengers. A PUC spokesperson says the commission is still accepting comments, and the commission could still decide not to adopt the staff recommendation and could decide to open a formal investigation. Dukas says that he is disappointed but not surprised and doesn't expect that commissioners will open a formal investigation. 10 Northeast states, including Maine, have formed a compact to improve regional electric transmission and connect more clean energy to the grid. In a memorandum of understanding, the states agreed to collaborate on transmission infrastructure planning and coordinate offshore wind power development. Maine is expected to double its future electricity use to meet its climate goals, and similar increases will be seen around the region, says Dan Burgess, the director of the Maine Governor's Energy Office.
And this pact will help us ensure that we are planning for how to best meet those needs.
A non-binding agreement was signed by the six New England states and New York, Maryland, Delaware, and New Jersey. It remains unclear just why Portland's first Justice, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Director left after just over a year on the job. Office Director Umaru Balda resigned in May. He hasn't said why. Portland Councilor Pius Ali, who chaired the committee that recommended creation of the Diversity Office, offered no insight into Balda's departure, saying that it was a personnel matter. Asked to evaluate the progress made by the office so far, Councilor Ali said that he takes a longer view.
The work of racial equity is not something that can just happen overnight. I think it's a process.
City spokeswoman Jessica Grandin has told the Portland Press Herald that a search for Balda's permanent replacement will begin later this summer. Last fall, Maine passed a new law that was designed to give residents of mobile home parks an opportunity to purchase the properties when they go up for sale. The results have been mixed. Out-of-state investors are in the process of purchasing several large parks in southern Maine for tens of millions of dollars each. And that's left nearly 700 households wondering whether the new owners will increase the rent or evict them from their homes. Now, a community in Brunswick may be the first to successfully use Maine's new law to preserve its neighborhood. Nicole Legrisco reports.
The windows of Janet Fournier's single-wide mobile home in Brunswick are open on this warm summer day. Fournier and her neighbor, Tom Benoit, point to the wild blueberry fields that can be seen at the edge of Lynn Haven Mobile Home Center.
You can really see them well from it. Well, I'd say it, but from my street, because it's completely open. But this is pretty open if you go down here. It's beautiful.
Like many of their neighbors, Fournier and Benoit moved to Lynn Haven wanting something affordable and easy to maintain as they got older. So when they learned that the park's longtime owner wanted to sell, they feared the worst. Benoit says residents worried that a new owner would evict them and use the property for some other purpose.
Nobody has any place to go. I mean, you know, you can't take 200 and how many are we? Trailers? 277 trailers and move them all locally.
A new state law enacted last year requires that mobile home residents be given advance notice of any sale and allows them a chance to try to bid on the property themselves. Fournier recalls asking the Lynn Haven owner, Kurt Scarponi, about the new law.
He just smiled and he said, well, the person that comes up with the money, he said, and if you sweeten the pot or sweeten the deal. So I kind of laughed at that and said, okay. And we did all three of those things. Yeah.
Within 1 week, the group had gathered enough resident signatures to form the Blueberry Fields Cooperative. And they eventually offered just more than $26 million, $50,000 more than an anonymous buyer to purchase the park. They secured letters of interest from several banks and other funders. And the offer was accepted.
I told some of the folks, I said, if I could do a cartwheel,
yeah,
I would.
Yeah, you did say that. You said that to me. Exactly.
It was just elation.
It was very exciting.
But residents at other mobile home parks in Maine haven't fared as well. An offer to buy two mobile home parks in Old Orchard Beach for a total of $40 million was rejected in favor of another bidder. And this winter, residents at Country Lane Estates and Stetson Brook Estates in Lewiston learned that their parks would be sold for a total of $22 million.
We're just at the mercy of whoever buys the park and whatever they tell us, because there is no option for these people, you know, myself included.
Jamie is a Country Lane resident who asked to go by her first name only out of fear of retribution. She says she worried that her monthly lot rent of about $385 would go up under a new owner.
We're here, we live here, and this is where we're going to be. You know, we don't have a contingency plan.
The residents organized, but their offer, which came in $1,000 above the competing bid, was rejected. It would have taken up to 3 months for residents to secure financing, while the winning bidders could potentially pay cash. Still, Jamie says, she's disappointed.
About 350 homes approximately have supported this family for years. Why would you not give us the same opportunity to do that for ourselves? Why would you not give us the chance to do that in our community? that's what's really sad and kind of heartbreaking to me.
There can be kind of, I would use the word kind of stigma or bias against residents being credible, legitimate, bona fide buyers.
Nora Goslin is with the nonprofit Cooperative Development Institute, which helped residents from Old Orchard Beach, Lewiston, and Brunswick attempt to buy their parks. She says all three communities followed the same process under Maine's Opportunity to Purchase law. But she says one factor worked in favor of the residents in Brunswick.
I think it is the fact that the Lynn Haven park owner was willing to, you know, come to the table here and see the benefit of resident ownership.
And while Goslin and other housing advocates say they hope the Brunswick sale will serve as a proof of concept for mobile home residents and for park owners, some say they'd like to see the law revised. Jamie at Country Lane Estates says residents should be granted the right of first refusal when their park comes up for sale. Back in Brunswick, the residents are under contract to purchase the Lynn Haven Park, and the property will be appraised later this month. Owner Kurt Scarponi declined comment until the deal is closed, but Janet Fournier says she spoke with him about the sale and believes he wanted to protect the legacy of his family, which has owned the park for the last 70 years.
And we ended up talking for an hour about the process, about this community that he's worked at his entire adult life. And towards the end of the conversation, I said, so what made you decide to do it for us? And he said, I did it for the tenants. I care about the tenants.
The residents have a mid-September deadline to secure funding and to close on the sale. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole LaGrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning, we'll talk about the beloved author E.B. White. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.